This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Alongside Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. First half over has cashed, so if you went a little contrarian or faded me, winner, winner, chicken dinner. 14-7, Cardinals up on the Carolina Panthers. All right, let's head to our progressive guest line, talk a little college football, as the VSiN College Football Betting Guide is out. JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, fresh off of some local radio. And is that your UNLV jersey in the background from your days with the Rebels?
No. This is actually, I don't know who it is. I probably should know who is behind me. But I like to say that it's Tony Miller, former walk-on defensive back, now retired as a former member of the gambling market out here.
So JVT wrote up the SEC and the Mountain West for our VSiN College Football Betting Guide.
That's a lot of work.
It is. And yeah, we went in-depth on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, episode out now. So make sure you check that out. But let's start with the SEC real quickly, and I want to hit you on Tennessee because we talked about this on the pod, and this is a team that, JVT, I just, all the prep that we've done this offseason, I didn't get a good feel on them, and I feel like you have a stronger grasp of this Tennessee team and what to expect. Win totals around 7.5 for the Vols this year. They are going to be going with a true freshman, it looks like, Faison Brandon at quarterback. What did your takeaway from Josh Heupel's squad this season?
That they're going to be really good, or at least I think they're going to be pretty good. And I'll start with Heupel, because going into Tennessee, I was kind of surprised about the amount of consistency that Heupel's had in his career there at Tennessee. I didn't realize it was as consistent as he's been. You know, he's won 8 games, and I think it's 4 straight seasons. Since he's taken over the program, guys, they have averaged at least 31.3 points per game offensively. They've had a pretty sturdy floor of production. And so I think taking that into account and then looking at this team as a whole, the returning production is awesome. I mean, pretty much the entire offensive line intact, save for one starter. You've got 3 of your top 4 receivers back. You've got your leading rusher back. Defensively, I think you have some questions about where this team is going to be, but linebacking core is really strong. He did suffer a suspension. He's going to be out for 2 games. You bring in Penn State's leading tackler from last year. Oh, and by the way, you hire Jim Knowles because he was out of a job because of what happened at Penn State last year. I think this team's going to be really freaking good. You know, the win total is 7.5. The schedule has some trip-up spots, right? You got to take on Texas. You got to take on Auburn, who I think is going to be very good. Alabama's in there as well, as you have the schedule up. But I think this team can surprise quite a few people, pull off some of those upsets. And there's some really winnable games that you can kind of bank on with the Volunteers. And I think the upside, a lot of it is going to have to do with our boy Brandon, right? That's not his first name. That's his last name. But I do think if he hits, which I think Heupel's going to allow him to do, it's going to be a pretty formidable team that a lot of people won't see coming.
Well, the thing is, Jim Knowles is one of the best defensive coordinators in the business. That's a great hire for Tennessee. All right, where do you stand on Alabama?
Well, I'm sitting currently, but I will say that Alabama can win a national championship, I think. I think it really just depends on what you're going to get at quarterback. Keelan Russell is going to be the big question, Matt, but I think that Kalen DeBoer has a strong enough track record of helping quarterbacks develop and get the most out of their game that I'm going to trust that Russell's going to be the guy and be what you expect him to be. And he's going to add a lot, I think, to this running game. That's one of the big issues for Alabama. You go back to the game they lost to Oklahoma that ended their season, or excuse me, to Indiana that ended their season. They ran for 17 total yards in that game. They were awful on the ground. They were in the bottom percentile in so many different run metrics. That offensive line is completely retooled, and I think that's a good thing because the offensive line last year didn't really do that much. So if now we have a threat at quarterback potentially, you have a rebuilt offensive line, and you have a defensive return to, think, 6 or 7 starters of a group that was very good for them last year, top 30 in a lot of different advanced metrics defensively. I think this team, you know, if they hit on all cylinders, Matt, is SEC winner. They're plus 850 to do so, and I think they can compete for a national championship. So I'm pretty high on Alabama. I did bet them, out of everything we're talking about here, to win the ACC, or excuse me, SEC at plus 850. I think that's going to be something that is certainly possible for Alabama. They have the opportunity on the schedule as well to take on some big boys and move up the standings. And I think if everything hits, I think they're going to be a team that will be surprised at the way we thought of them before this season began.
Yeah, off that really embarrassing loss to Indiana, 38-3. Did not even compete in that game. Alabama's got home games against Georgia and Texas A&M in October. Okay, JVT, where do you sit on some teams that you really like or teams you don't like in the SEC?
So I think this is probably a easy opinion to have in the SEC, but I'm in on Auburn, man. Like, I totally get this. I think Golish is obviously a really good coach, but then you look at what he's bringing in. Byron Brown is a really freaking good quarterback. It was one of those things, like I told Tim Matt the other day, you know that Byron Brown had a good season, and then I write the guide and you actually put the numbers down and you're like, holy crap. He had over 4,200 total yards. He ran and passed for over 40 touchdowns. The dude was unreal. He gets two really good receivers to come with him from USF. And not only is Golish there, obviously, but he gets his offensive coordinator. And I thought one of the bigger things, and I always give Stormy credit for this whenever Auburn comes up, because she pointed this out to me, retaining DJ Durkin at defensive coordinator is a sneaky good move. Durkin has done a really good job with Auburn's defense over the last couple of years. They were hardly the issue with the Tigers last season for sure. And you retain some personnel on that end of the ball too. So you get an SEC defense, you get an offense that was one of the better ones in the country and one of the best returning quarterbacks. I think Auburn's going to be awesome. So they're on my list of teams that I really like. And the teams that I don't like I'll go on the opposite side of the spectrum. I think it's going to be a rough year for Vanderbilt. You know, it's already hard enough to rebuild and retool after losing a quarterback like Diego Pavia. And yes, the quarterback that you're going to turn to here is the highest rated recruit that you have brought in your school's history. But you're going to rely on a true freshman. You're going to rebuild on an offensive line in a running game that wasn't particularly effective. And I think defensively, they've got some issues too. I think to ask Vanderbilt to go under that 5.5 win mark is perfectly plausible as well. I think it's going to be a rough year for them. So it's a relatively low win total, but high on Auburn, low on Vandy for the SEC.
JVT, kind enough to hang with us. Money Moves is where you can catch him weekdays, pod to the futures as well. And he was on with me, breaking down the SEC and the Mountain West on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. One final thought on the SEC before pivoting to the Mountain West. Georgia, Texas, is there a gap in those between those two? How do you handicap the top two teams in this conference?
You know, I don't think there's really that much of a gap. So, like, Tim, I think it was you when we talked about it. If you wanted to find some of those shops that had Georgia at, like, that 3-1 mark or so to win the SEC, I think that's a perfectly fine bet. I think they should both be somewhat tied with each other. The big thing for Texas is going to be, will the additions they made on the offensive line in the transfer portal, will they pay dividends? They bring in the kid from Wake Forest, which was the big deal. Obviously, another kid from Western Kentucky that's going to fill a gap. You have two returning starters, including, I think it's Goosby, who comes back as well. That's going to really help you out. So if the offensive line is going to be better, then I'm down with what the upside of Texas is. You know, a lot of people were disappointed with Arch Manning, but I will point out that of the SEC quarterbacks last year, guys, he was the most pressured quarterback in the SEC. So if you can allow him to operate in a clean pocket more often, I think we're going to start to see where perception meets reality with Arch and his talent, and they're going to be very, very good. And by the way, that affects the run game too, because they weren't that effective a running team either. So I think Texas is going to be good, and obviously we know what Georgia is. Gunnar Stockton's great. I wonder if Mike Bobo, their offensive coordinator, is going to open things up a little bit more. They were very, like, run on first down, run on second down, and then Gunnar, please save us on third down. And you see that play out in some of the numbers. Early down efficiency metrics, they were pretty middle of the pack to below average in a lot of those. But in late down success rate, they're one of the better teams in the country. And a lot of it had to do with Gunnar Stockton kind of YOLO balling and getting stuff done.
Yep.
If they open up the offense a little bit more, and if they can be more efficient on early downs, they're going to be very good too. But I think the difference between the two, negligible at this point.
Jonathan Von Tobel, SEC Mountain West preview for our VSiN College Football Betting Guide out now. Let's pivot to the Mountain West, and the big addition for the Mountain West is North Dakota State. They're getting a lot of hype. They have the highest win total in this conference, which seems a bit crazy to me. So you look at the regular season, it's 9.5, juiced under at -230. But I was texting with you today. Conference wins is 5.5, even money to the under. And the San Jose State game that wraps up their season is a non-conference game. So they're going to be pretty big favorites at all four of their conference games. What are you expecting from North Dakota State, who, when you look at their schedule, JVT, they have to play New Mexico, UNLV, Hawaii, and Air Force all on the road?
Yep. I mean, look, they could lose all four of those games. One of the things that I wrote about for North Dakota State, it was one of my burning questions, was, is the lack of addition of talent in the transfer portal going to burn them? Because they lost a lot. They lost two all-conference offensive linemen to the transfer portal, and their response was not to really bring in that many. They brought in 29 freshmen in their last class, and they only brought in a handful of transfers, only three of which played at the Power Four level. One of them was a punter. So they're really, really relying on internal promotion to keep this thing going. And I can understand that considering how well it has worked for you. But this is a step up in competition. And these are a lot of teams that are ahead of you, Tim, in this Mountain West that are retooling with former Power Four guys that are pretty talented. And I think that's going to eventually burn them here. And you mentioned the schedule, the fact that they did no favors the Mountain West to North Dakota State, the fact that they have to make all these trips. Guys, I will also point out, and humans, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this in the last couple of seconds if you have any, but I actually think Nevada is going to be sneaky okay and a pain in the ass. Wyoming changed their offense and I think is going to be a little bit better this year too. They have them on the schedule as well. I wouldn't be surprised if they find themselves in dogfights with those two programs and potentially lose one of those games. So, Tim, under that conference win total, under on the win total 8.5 or something I wrote up for the guide, I think this team is being pretty overvalued in its jump here to the Mountain West.
Yeah, I agree with most of what you're saying there. Actually, we got about 90 seconds left, so I'll let you go here. New Mexico's got a quarterback problem, right? We talked about this last night. The what do you think the deal is here with the Lobos quarterback and UNLV, New Mexico, Hawaii? How would you rank those three teams right now?
I think that to answer the second one really quickly, I think that UNLV deserves to be the favorite, but not by much. I would put Hawaii with the issues with Lane second and then New Mexico third. But I'll say this. New Mexico brought in a former three-star kid from Oregon. He's kind of a little bit more of a dual-threaded quarterback. They're actually kind of deep at the position. It's why I wrote about the position in the guide. I actually think Lane, he's fine, but only 13 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, just over 7 yards per attempt.
Right.
You can do better than that. And now that you have an athlete at the position who allegedly dazzled in spring, I think this Mogo kid that they have from Oregon might actually kind of be the silver lining to this injury. I think they'll be effective, but they're not a good defense. And Matt, real quick, they were a favorite last year in New Mexico 6 times. They went 3-3 straight up, 1-5 against the spread. They're going to be favored on a lot more of these games this year. How are they going to handle that? Because they did not handle that role well last year.
At me, JVT, is where you can find him. Read the Mountain West and the SEC previews, courtesy of JVT, as our guide is out now. JVT, always appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
There is Jonathan Von Tobel, 14-14. Maybe more points coming. Who knows? Under 5 minutes to go, this game has opened up into a shootout.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's VSiN Primetime here on this Thursday evening as the NFL season has started. Well, sort of. The Hall of Fame game is rolling along, and right now it's a 14-14 game in Canton as the Arizona Cardinals driving yet again. They are 3.5-point live favorites. The total, which once upon a time got down to around 28, is now 50.5 as we hit the 2-minute warning, Matt. This thing was scoreless after the first quarter. Now, the last play of the first quarter got the ball down to the 1-yard line, but there's a good chance we're going to see 35 or more points scored in the second quarter alone.
Not too many times this season are you going to see a game blow up like this and suddenly, right? It's scoreless first quarter. And that 96-yard drive by the Cardinals that really busted things open. 28 points in the second quarter, and we're not done yet. By the way, the Cardinals just fumbled. I believe the running back fumbled about 2 plays ago. It looks like the Panthers had the ball. Somehow they coughed it up and did not recover it. So Arizona retained possession. Arizona's going to put some more points on the board here before halftime.
I tell you what, and, you know, this is what we always do. I'm sure it happened when you were being a beat reporter in Chicago. I remember doing radio shows in Washington. You massively overreact to the third or fourth string player. Oh, my God, this guy's going to be a contributor. And then they get cut on cut down day. That said, if you're Jacoby Brissett, you can't be thrilled by what you're witnessing right now. I mean, there's really nothing to gain from Jacoby Brissett. And Carson Beck, give him credit. It's vanilla defense. There's no game plan, but he's doing what you're supposed to do. 11 of 14 for Carson Beck. And for us college football fans to see Carson Beck and Haynes King out there playing well, it's kind of nice. Kind of reminds us of what we saw last year in the ACC.
Yeah, but, you know, they're putting up drives here, sustaining drives, putting up numbers against a bunch of defensive players who are not going to be on NFL rosters at the beginning of the season. That's one thing about handicapping. A game like this is you don't know for sure how bad the defenses are going to be. Typically, the defenses should be ahead of the offenses, especially when you don't have starters on the field. But, man, these defenses look just – like dumpster fires on both sides tonight. After It's really slow start in the first quarter. The second quarter has been totally different than the first. And we're going to have, Tim, you talked about the live total at one point dipped to 30.5.
I think it was, I thought I saw 28,
might
29.
Might have been 28 or 29, but it's going to go over that in the second quarter alone. We're going to have at least 31 points here in the second quarter.
The full game total might be wrapped up by halftime. Who knows? We are at the 2-minute warning right now, 14 all between the Cardinals and the Panthers. Cardinals, the betting favorite at minus 195. They're -3.5 in game at DraftKings for plus money, and the total sits at 50.5. Now, Matt, I should have done a better job of keeping an eye on what Carson Beck was pregame and how much, if at all, it moved for him to be offensive rookie of the year based off of one preseason game. You try not to overreact, but once again, if you're handicapping rookie of the year, you're looking for value in a quarterback. And look, last year, I think I was more lucky than good in the rookie of the year market. I bet Tyler Shuck when the news came out that Derek Carr was going to retire at 22-1, and he didn't win the starting job. It was Spencer Rattler, and that number ballooned. But then he had a couple of good games late in the season. That number came way down, and I was able to get off on Tet McMillan. So Carson Beck right now at DraftKings, 25-1, as always, shop around. And there's a good lesson of shopping around, Matt, because I did make a rookie of the year bet. I made a defensive and offensive rookie of the year bet today. And I bet Jadarian Price of the Seahawks to win offensive rookie of the year. Kenneth Walker moves on to the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I don't know if he'll be a full-on bell cow, but maybe I got a little enamored and excited by what I saw in small glimpses on Hard Knocks. But, you know, he could be a guy that gets a lot of opportunities as a rookie. Right now, if you look at Circa, Matt, Jadarian Price to win rookie of the year is plus 630. DraftKings, plus 650. Mm-hmm. Here in town, Stations Casino, our good friend Chuck Esposito, Boomer's Sportsbook, Nick Bogdanovich, both have him at 9-1. So went ahead and made the bet on Jadarian Price, 9-1 to win offensive rookie of the year. So, you know, you've got Jeremiah Love as the favorite. I asked this to our buddy Matt Grill, because DraftKings likes to do some of these unique, crossover or matchups. I said, well, you got two former teammates, two first-round picks, Price and Love. What if you did a head-to-head matchup on their rushing yards this year?
Mm-hmm.
I would love
take Price.
An opportunity to take Price and maybe get 100 yards, 85 yards, whatever it would be. Got a field goal attempt. It is up. It is good. 31 total points. The Cardinals now up 17-14. In the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, the problem for the Cardinals is going to be the offensive line is below average. We saw the same thing last year with the Raiders. In front of Ashton Jeanty, he was behind a bad offensive line. What Jeanty finished last season with? I think 990 yards rushing or 950, something like
975.
That.
975.
Okay. Yep. Jeanty did not get to 1,000 yards. And I don't know. You know, Jeremiah Love should get to 1,000, but he's also behind a bad offensive line. Who knows? One injury could be a major setback where you don't get there. Jadarian Price is playing for the Super Bowl champs. And with Kenneth Walker moving on to Kansas City, Price is going to get a lot of opportunities in that offense. And I would think that I would make him the favorite to get more rushing yards this season than Love will with the Cardinals.
Yeah, you look at some of their season-long props, and that's not the way it's priced right now. So I'd be curious to see what it would be if they were to put up a prop like that. Look, the big question with offensive rookie of the year is going to be Fernando Mendoza, right? When does he start during this season? Because if he wins the job at a camp, which I don't think either one of us expect him to do, but
no,
you never know,
then
he becomes the betting favorite, Matt. So I think that's the big question right now. And then also, let's be honest, Carson Beck, he was 28-1 prior to the start of this game, down to 25-1. If he's the starter all year long, does he put up enough numbers as a quarterback to win this award? As you look at it right now, Matt, offensive rookie of the year, it is not a situation where you've got a clear-cut quarterback. I mean, it was just 2 years ago. Jaden Daniels, preseason, you were able to get Jaden Daniels at around 8-1 to win offensive rookie of the year because of Caleb Williams. And then, there was a lot of buzz coming out of Giants camp as well. So anyone of interest for you long shot in that medium range that you would be curious about for Rookie of the Year?
Let's see. Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think the... No. There's no bet I want to make on that market. And, you know, there's a chance Carson Beck, if he wins his quarterback job for the Cardinals, and you got to think the Cardinals have to have an eye on the future. Jacoby Brissett is not going to be your future. He's a decent quarterback, put up decent numbers last season. But when you have a new coach and Beck is your draft pick, that's probably the quarterback you're going to want to develop. At about 30-1 odds, is he worth a shot? He could start 10 games or more. And there's a chance at 30-1 that would not be a bad bet. Nothing else really jumps out at me. You know, I love the running backs from Notre Dame, Love and Price. They're both going to be highly productive in the NFL. But this year, I think Jadarian Price is the better bet because he's playing for the Super Bowl champs. So I would say if I made two bets, I would bet Jadarian Price. I would bet Carson Beck.
Yeah, look around, as always, 9-1 here in Vegas. If you're coming to town for... sign up for contests, and you are interested in that bet, 9-1 stations and boomers on Jadarian Price. But I think the point you make about Carson Beck is really important. If he wins this job, his odds get cut in half, maybe he'll even be more so than that.
He'll be down to around 10-1 if he won this job.
So
I'm not saying he's going to win the job week one, but he could have the job by week three or week four.
And that's the big thing, obviously, when you think about both Mendoza and Carson Beck. Under 2 minutes to go in the first half, 17-14, Cardinals leading the Hall of Fame game. Folks, $30 million in guaranteed prizes. Cash in this football season right here in Vegas with three Circa Sports contests. Entries start at $1,000, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. Circa Million, 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Circa Survivor, pick one winner each week. Last one standing wins. And Circa Grandissimo for the high rollers, $100,000 entry. Enter in Nevada. Play from anywhere. $30 million guaranteed. CircaSports.com for more details. Matt, an old friend, Sammy P. Sam Paniatovic in town for Bet Bash. He, Chris the Bear Felica, Will Hill did their podcast yesterday live here at Bet Bash. And Sammy P is going to jump in studio with us. He's got a brand new gig in his hometown in Chicago.
He does. Good for him and happy for him. Sammy P is going to be in. I was out there last night at the office bar in Las Vegas with the Bear. Sammy P, Kenny White, Alex White, Doug Kazarian. All sorts of...
The who's who.
The mustache. Brett McMurphy was there last night.
Man.
JVT was there. Mitch Moss. We had a great crew out there last night. The office bar is an official Buffalo Bills bar. So it's a very happy place during the regular season and a sad place during the playoffs.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Matt, the total in this game closed at 33.5 at some shops. It is now 17-17 before halftime. It was scoreless going into the second quarter, 34 points in the second quarter alone. I don't think my first half under is going to make it.
Well, Tim, I don't think it is. By the way, some big plays there in the second quarter by the Cardinals. Kurt Warner, Larry Fitzgerald, really moving that offense up and down the field.
I think it was Haynes King.
Whatever.
Carson Beck.
No, that was a pretty impressive offensive performance there in the second quarter. 34 total points. Who thought that was going to happen? Nobody.
No one did. Maybe our next guest did.
Nope.
Sammy P. All right. Thanks for joining us. See you later. No. Sam Paniatovic. Fresh new gig in his hometown, sports anchor Fox 32. Congrats, man, on the new gig. How does it feel to be covering sports in your hometown of Chicago?
That's all I ever wanted to do. Just took me 20 years to get back, right? I miss you guys, though. Good to see you. Long time no see.
It feels like your career is back from the dead.
I'm not touching that one. Nope.
What is the tell us specifically, what's your new job in Chicago, sports anchor?
So we do a little bit of everything. You know, in the digital age, it's a lot of YouTube now. The YouTube channel has almost 500,000 subscribers, so we do a ton of digital content. But I'm also on TV 5 days a week, and then we're the home of the Bears And allegedly, the Bears are going to be pretty good, although I was talking to some of our friends down the street, and most public team in terms of tickets to win the NFC North, win the NFC, win the Super Bowl, and Caleb Williams for MVP. So what could possibly go wrong?
Well, I mean, that's a good starting point here, talking about the NFL and the Bears. Do you think this team is going to continue to ascend, or do the Bears regress this season?
The offense will ascend. I don't know how many stops they're going to get, though. This is probably an over team. Remember we used to play Madden when we were kids? Not me and you together, but when we were kids, it would usually be the first to 35 when you played Madden with your buddies. That's the Bears this year. And they already have some injuries on the defensive side of the ball. Kobe Bryant is going to miss 10 weeks. That's their starting safety. They put a lot of money into that. So now they're going to start a backup safety and a rookie safety. And if they don't get a pass rush, man, they're going to give up at least 24 points a game. Their hope is that the quarterback can ascend. And, you know, Ben Johnson has really put his fingerprints all over this team offensively. They have weapons everywhere. I think the one thing to pay attention to is their center, Garrett Bradbury, because Drew Dahlman, out of nowhere, retired. Right. They went out, they got Garrett Bradbury. Offensively, there's a lot to like. Defensively, who the hell knows?
Sammy, when you look at the NFC North, there's no, outside of the NFC South, which feels like a true coin toss for any one of those four teams, this is the tightest division from the odds standpoint. We just had Drew Dinsick in studio last hour, and he's of the belief that the Packers are a regression team. He does not like what they've got on defense, you know, skill position wise. Bears win this division last year. How do you handicap this division right now? Who do you think is the best team to look at from an odds standpoint?
Well, best roster is Detroit, top to bottom, but they got Paul Bunyan on the sideline. You know, I don't trust that guy. From 1 to 53 man, though, I mean, that's the best team, the most talented team. And I think Jahmyr Gibbs is primed to be offensive player of the year. I think he's favored at most books. So I handicap it this way. Detroit has the best roster. Chicago probably has the best quarterback and head coach combo. The Packers had the best defense, but Micah Parsons is now hurt. And I think stylistically, the Vikings with Kevin O'Connell and Brian Flores are going to be in a lot of games. But it's funny, nobody was talking about Chicago last year. They won the division.
Mm-hmm.
The team nobody's talking about this year is Minnesota. If they can get anything at quarterback, they can win this division because they got nothing last year from J.J. McCarthy. Nothing.
They might not get much this year either. We'll see. But the Lions, if you look at the schedule, the Lions are the team you would be most likely to bet over the total, right?
Sure. And I think there's a lot of wise guy money in the market, not only in Vegas, but across the country, offshore. Lions to win the NFC, famous last words. But defensively, I mean, there were, I think, four straight weeks where they were missing either two or three guys in the secondary. They were just decimated by injuries. And if Jared Goff and Gibbs and company and St. Brown, if they can click on offense, they're going to be the team that wins this division, no doubt.
All right, your dad's in studio. Great to see Sammy Sr. here tonight, and he's got a wad of dollars. He wants to go out and bet a couple of overs and a couple of unders and NFL win totals. What are you going to give him? What are your best bets?
I think the Bengals are my team this year. I'm really high on them. You know, offensively, there's a lot to like, but the move to get Dexter Lawrence to me is huge. That changed the entire division. I don't know what's up with Baltimore. You know, Lamar has been kind of wonky as of late, and I'm sorry, I'm not betting Mike McCarthy. It's just not happening.
Well, you bet him under.
You could bet him under. Well, you asked for overs. Oh, actually, you didn't. You asked for
two
one
overs,
or the other.
Two
overs, I'd go Bengals, and I'd go Texans.
Okay.
And then under, I'd go, let's see, how about Seattle off the Super Bowl year? Mm-hmm. And probably the New York Giants. I just, I hate their team.
But it sounds like you have not made any under bets yet.
No under bets yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sammy P, Sam Panayotovich. Fresh new anchor, contributor, Fox 32 in his hometown of Chicago. Right now, the White Sox are up 7-6 on the Red Sox.
This guy was on Nesson for how many years?
That's
three?
True.
Six.
Yeah.
Was it six?
Yeah.
Oh, time flies. 6 years on Nesson. How about the Red Sox? 25-3 over the last 28 games.
It's unbelievable. It's one of the best runs in the history of the sport. I mean, forget this year of all time. And this was a team, you know, I still have some friends in Boston, as you guys know. They were talking about selling at the deadline,
right?
You know, last month. You go back 30 days, it's like, well, they're going to sell everything.
Yeah.
And here they are. I mean, they're putting the screws to the White Sox. White Sox are up right now, but the last couple of days, it's been really bad. I have a little, I didn't tell you this. I got a little 40-1 White Sox division.
Ooh.
Nice.
That was a crazy price coming into the season. Now, do they get there? I don't know. I wish they were a little bit more aggressive at the deadline. Cubs had a great deadline. White Sox, You get Luis Castillo, it doesn't move my meter personally.
Yeah, I mean, look, I got over their win total. I like that one.
That's a good bet, too.
I would have rather had 40-1 in my back pocket.
Well, now that I brought it up, it's going to lose.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Are you one of the many people on social media that bought Pete Crow Armstrong at 40, 50, 60-1 to win MVP? He's now the favorite to win the MVP. Does he do it?
He should if Ohtani doesn't pitch. And, I mean, you could read between the lines. I think the reason they went out and got Skubal is because they don't think Ohtani's going to pitch, at least until the postseason, at which point anything's fair game. And maybe you use him in, like, the fourth or fifth inning. But, good God, man, Skubal, Yamamoto, Glasnow, Snell, maybe Ohtani. But PCA is the best player in baseball right now. I think it's in both leagues, right? He saved, like, 24 runs defensively? That's absurd. Gold Glove defense, he's hitting like an MVP. And Ohtani, what does Ohtani do? He takes, what, 3 or 4 bats a day and then goes down and goes to the cage. All-around player, it's PCA now. And I have no bets on PCA. I stared at it 9-1 like a month ago, and I'm like, nah.
Well, I mean, it's easy to do that. It's easy to kick ourselves when we're down.
I thought about it, though.
So let me ask you this about the Cubs, a team that you will be covering. Hopefully both these teams deep into October. It could be a lot of fun in the fall here. Do the Cubs, do the Phillies, everyone, once the Skubal trade happened, it's over. And we had Johnny Avello come on. He said he doesn't recall a shorter World Series favorite at this time of the year than the Dodgers. Do the Cubs, do the Phillies, do they have the Brewers, do they have the firepower to knock off the juggernaut that is the Dodgers in the NL?
If I had to power rank the three, I think I'd go Phillies 1, Cubs 2, Brewers 3. I thought the Brewers were a team that should have done a lot more.
I mean, solid
team, but I don't know, man. I thought they'd be a little bit more aggressive. The Cubs, haven't the Cubs beaten the Dodgers every game this year? It's like 6-0, isn't it? Like,
well, the Brewers did that last year, and they got smoked in the NLCS.
Yeah, it's probably Dodgers and Rays, I would guess. But the AL is wide open.
Yeah.
That's not exactly a hot take, Matt. Sorry. I mean, Dodgers and Rays is pretty straightforward.
All right. Cubs and the Red Sox have obviously emerged as really dangerous teams here as we head into the final 7 weeks of the regular season. All right. Bet Bash 6. You're out of here for this. And you guys had the Bear Bets podcast panel yesterday.
Right? Yeah, we did a college football show.
You and the Bear, Jeff Schwartz, and a guy named Will Hill.
Heard of him. We had a good show.
He did some curls before he jumped on set.
I did. We've never all met each other at once.
Are you serious?
That was the first time. Yeah. Well, because of, you know, the Zoom and the COVID and all that. So, yeah, that we've, like, Jeff and Bear and I have met, but the four of us have never been together. We had a great time. But Will's yoked, man.
Well, he's here for a powerlifting competition.
Right? I couldn't. He's here. You know what else? He's here with his wife and all their kids for 8 days.
All 7 kids.
Can you believe that? For 8 days with the whole family in Vegas.
Sounds terrible.
By the way, how great is this Bet Bash event? This is 6 years you're good friends with Spanky.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, they've got 800 people this year. It continues to grow. We did a seminar today, or a panel, or whatever they call it. The Hall of Fame panel. It was just Vinny.
Is that right?
Vinny's the only one on it. So I sort of fireside chatted it. 10 minutes into the session, the door opens. Billy Walters walks in.
Nice.
Sits right. I'm like, okay, Billy Walters just walked into a segment that I'm a show that I'm moderating, and there were some heavy hitters in there, man. But Vinny goes in tomorrow. I think there's like 6 inductees, just a who's who, right? And Circa Derek obviously really cares about it. He's got the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame in the book. Great event, and a 4-hour dinner tomorrow with tons of speeches. Your favorite.
Fox 32 in Chicago, Sammy P. Make sure you check him out on the Bear Bets podcast as well. It was a really good pod. Listen to it on my drive home last night. Sammy P., always appreciate it, man.
Hey, you did good, too, with McMurphy.
Yeah,
don't get it twisted.
Yeah, I just let McMurphy tell some stories and stuff like that. There he is, Sammy P. Follow him on Twitter, at SPShoot. Halftime of the Hall of Fame game, all tied up at 17.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Keep it rolling here alongside Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray. It is VSiN Primetime. Second half about to get underway in Canton, Ohio. 17 all. Just like we all expected, Matt, a shootout between the Cardinals and the Panthers. 34 points scored in the second quarter, and some sports books closed 33.5. And it's easy to say it now, bought at the dip, you would have been already home with the winner. Mm-hmm. This game was 29-30, somewhere in that ballpark, live, no score in the first quarter. And now, second half underway, Matt, all tied up at 17 apiece. Live total 50.5 between the Cardinals and the Panthers.
Yeah, it's just hard to predict games like this. That's why it's never going to be your biggest bet, right? But first quarter, offense is really bad. Second quarter, defense is really bad. And that's how you get 34 points in a quarter. Mike LaFleur, the new head coach of the Cardinals, probably a little bit more motivated to win tonight. So we'll see if the Cardinals are a little bit more aggressive here in the second half. It's going to be interesting here. Haynes King, a quarterback for the Panthers, and I believe Keaton Slovis is going to play quite a bit in the second half for the Cardinals.
Beck's still out there, though.
Carson Beck is still out there to start the third quarter, but Tim, I would expect he plays, what, one or two series in the third, and that's probably about it.
12 of 15, 157 yards. I can tell you right now, Arizona talk radio tomorrow morning is going to be talking quite a bit, whether right or wrong, about Carson Beck and whether he should be the starter. And look, if you're Mike LaFleur, year one, where are you going with Jacoby Brissett, right? So I'd bring out the rookie and just see what he's got. It's not like, I don't know, it's not a situation where it's the number one overall pick. It's a third round pick. If he flames out, he flames out. Fernando Mendoza, you want to deal with kid gloves. You don't want him to have his, confidence shaken. It's a third round pick in Carson Beck. If he gets smashed, whatever. We move on and we get a pick next year in the loaded quarterback class.
Well, it's obvious the Cardinals wanted Ty Simpson. That's who Michael LaFleur wanted. Sean McVay and the Rams, they knew that, and they jumped them in the draft and took Simpson. So now they're going to see if they can make it work with Carson Beck. But like you said, it's a low-risk sort of situation with Beck, who was a third-round pick. And if the Cardinals do what most of us think they're going to do this year, and that's win three or four games, they're going to have a high draft pick and a chance to get a quarterback of the future in a loaded draft in 2027. So either way, I think Mike LaFleur I'll say this with a lot of certainty. Carson Beck's going to get the opportunities to start a lot of games this season because Mike LaFleur knows that he's really got nothing to gain by starting Jacoby Brissett, right?
Yeah, there's no real upside for a journeyman quarterback. Now,
you can say that about the Raiders, too, but the Raiders situation is a little bit different with Cousins and Mendoza.
And I think Cousins is a far better quarterback, in my opinion, than Jacoby Brissett. And, you know, for Fernando Mendoza, he is your face of your – he's the face of your franchise.
For sure.
And Carson Beck is not. He could
might
be.
Might not be.
You never know, but I don't think there's much of a downside here. And I'll tell you what, once again, vanilla defenses. There's no game plan. The Panthers have no game plan. They did not scheme up the Arizona Cardinals. It is completely different than what Carson Beck would see if he were to play week one. But he's looked decent. He's looked comfortable, I'll say, tonight. And right now he sits at 25-1 to win Rookie of the Year. I was surprised. I thought this number might move a little bit more to the knee-jerk reaction of him playing well. Has not done so here tonight. So
I'm sure DraftKings probably taking a few bets here and there on Beck.
Yeah.
Because people are watching the game, getting excited. Hey, this guy's got a shot. And that number is not going to go up. It's only going to go down. So if you see the 28-1, why not take it? Take a little bit.
You know, it's funny. I was looking around today. There was a report, Matt. I don't know who it was reported by, but some scouts early on had C.J. Carr rated higher than Arch Manning, looking ahead to the 27 draft.
I still think there are questions about Arch.
I bet C.J. Carr, small bet, I bet him plus 650 to be the number one overall pick today. DraftKings was 650. FanDuel, I think, was like 410, somewhere in that ballpark. And I think there's, when the season is over, there are going to be long discussions. And for 3 months, it's going to be, is it Arch? Is it Dante Moore? Is it C.J. Carr? In my opinion. Now, someone could emerge, like no one was talking about Fernando Mendoza being the number one pick this time a year ago. And someone always tends to emerge. But I think C.J. Carr, everything you've heard about him this offseason, I think there's a real chance that he ends up being the number one overall pick.
Yeah,
so
I think
plus
so.
650, I thought it was worth a small play.
Well, if you go back and watch Arch Manning and his tape from 2025, there were a lot of games where his mechanics were really poor. He was sloppy in the pocket with his footwork, and he just remembered the sidearm throws, and there are a lot of things that indicated that he's definitely not a polished NFL prospect. If his last name were not Manning, would he be the favorite? No.
Probably not.
He would not.
No, probably
just based
not.
On his play, on yeah. his production? No. That's based on the last name Manning and his potential. So I think C.J. Carr does have a real realistic chance to be the number one pick in the draft. That's not a bad bet.
Yeah, plus 650 right now at DraftKings is the number. Dante Moore plus 380. Jeremiah Smith, arguably most talented player in college football, sitting there at 10-1. So college football starts 3 weeks from Saturday. The NFL underway. Matt, I just like saying it. Mm-hmm. How many consecutive Thursdays will we have football?
21.
21! Man, feels good.
You know, last note on what you're talking about at the top. I don't care how great you think Jeremiah Smith is. I can't see him being the number one draft pick. No. It's going to be a quarterback.
Too many quarterback needy teams. This quarterback class is so loaded on paper. And, you know, I keep calling it the year of the quarterback. I truly believe it. Now, I don't know who to bet or if you should bet the Heisman Trophy right now or maybe you wait in season. There's so many good quarterbacks. There's so many ebbs and flows in this market. I took a couple long bomb stabs, but, you know, amongst the shorter shots, I'm not going to tell you to bet C.J. Carr or Arch Manning at 7-1. Mintz is interesting, 10-12-1. Certainly their schedule's pretty soft leading into it. And, you know, I think, I don't know if the Bear mentioned that it would be the Heisman winner determined on November 7th, but he did say it would be the one seed in the college football playoff when Miami visits Notre Dame. And I'm starting to think, Matt, want to update this? Carson
fourth
Beck with
five.
Another dime.
Fourth and five, Carson Beck throws deep down the left sideline into double coverage, and it's complete. Cardinals first and goal. So Carson Beck with another nice throw. Now, again, don't overreact. He's facing, third and fourth string defensive players, and he can
He
dropped that
he
ball.
He dropped it. Reggie Virgil, the rookie out of Texas Tech, dropped it.
It bounced off the turf right back
into
his arms.
It looked like he had made the catch.
It looked like he had a catch, but that's definitely an incompletion, no doubt.
So what's going to be interesting, Matt, is it's 17-17.
That was a nice throw, though.
It was a good throw. I would guess that was the last throw we see from Carson Beck.
Yeah, pretty good.
Keaton Slovis probably coming in now. Was 50.5 the time to jump in on the under at halftime after we saw all those points scored in the second quarter? That said, I think Haynes King is going to have a fun time tonight. I think he's going to run around.
I mean, if you played this the right way, you would have played over 28.5 when that number dipped and then play under 50.5, ideally. But that would be timing everything perfectly, and that's rarely going to happen.
17-17 is the score right now. 10:15 to go in the third quarter, and the Panthers-Cardinals opening up the NFL preseason. Just a reminder, as we were talking about C.J. Carr, he happens to be, Matt, the cover boy of the VSiN College Football Betting Guide.
Now, Notre Dame is number one.
Gunnar Stockton's in the background, Arch Manning, Dante Moore, that's Julian Sayin. So, you know, you got some other guys in the background, but Matt, when you put together your rankings, you had Notre Dame number one, C.J. Carr, front and center. First time, at least at some books, Notre Dame has had the preseason betting favorite to win the Heisman since 2006 with Brady Quinn. Update, he did not win the Heisman Trophy. Troy Smith
He did
it.
Not become a Hall of Famer with the Cleveland Browns.
No, he
either.
Did not.
Did not happen.
No, he certainly did not, but C.J. Carr, your betting favorite. And the mantra for the Irish this year, as you pointed out, Matt, leave no doubt.
Yeah, it's not leave little doubt. It's leave no doubt.
They are taking full accountability. That's at least what they're saying in public now about last year. And does that lead to them taking care of business, going 12-0? Right now, win total 11.5 on the Irish. Do they get tripped up at BYU? Do they beat Miami? Do they defeat SMU on senior night in late November?
It's not going to surprise me that much if Notre Dame goes 11-1, right? You can always drop a game somewhere along the way, but I still think Notre Dame's going to be right there with a chance to win the whole thing. Update on the White Sox and the Red Sox coming up after the break.
It is VSiN Primetime Hall of Fame game going on right now. Cardinals, Panthers tied at 17.